News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and a warm welcome to another episode of Northeast Diary, your window into the vibrant cultures, inspiring stories, and unfolding events across the eight jewels of India's Northeast. I'm Vinita Thakur, and in today's episode, we bring you an exclusive interview with Ms. Siasino Martha Mera and her husband, Mr. Vincent Vimtha Mera, who share their inspiring journey as blood donors. We'll also feature a radio talk on Assam, the land of blue hills and red rivers. But first, let's turn our attention to the commissioning of the Mizoram Railway Line, situated in the northeastern corner of India. Mizoram will soon find a place on the railway map of the country. This development is set to significantly improve connectivity in the region. With its high mountains and challenging terrain, transportation has long been a concern for the people of Mizoram. Our correspondent Isaac from Akashwani News, Aizawl, has more in this report.
In a major boost to connectivity in the Northeast region and fulfilling the dreams of Prime Minister Narendra Modi, Mizoram, located in the most corner of Northeastern region, will finally found its place in the railways map of India. Speaking to Akashwani News, Chief Public Relations Officer of Northeastern Frontier Railways, Kapinjal Kishore Sharma, said that the construction of railway lines have been completed and would be functional very soon. He said that trial runs are being conducted under the strict supervision of Commissioner of Railway Safety. He said,
now everything is completed and CRS has already given the authorization. So we are ready for movement of trains. So now we will await the next course of action. But as far as the readiness is concerned, we are ready. We can start.
Mr. Sharma said that the Commissioner of Railway Safety will oversee the trial run of the 51.38 long kilometer broad gauge railways project between Hotoki, Konpui, Mualkhang and Sairang to Simhui railway stations as inspection of the Bairabi to Hotoki section 16.72 kilometer long had already been conducted and certified by the Commissioner of Railway Safety. Foundation of the redevelopment of railway station Sairang to Simhui was laid by Prime Minister Narendra Modi at the Sairang near Aizawl on February 26 last year. Meanwhile, trial of cargo train between Hotoki and Sairang to Simhui stations was successfully conducted on the 4th of June. The speed trial run was conducted at 35 km per hour and 50 km per hour, while 110 km per hour speed trial run is scheduled to be conducted soon, Northeastern Frontier Railway's officials said. Executed by the Northeastern Frontier Railway, the Bairabi-Sairang Railway Line is a key infrastructure initiative under the Central's Act East policy, with the main aim to enhance connectivity and economic integration in the Northeast region. The estimated cost of the project is ₹8,215 crore. It is hoped that the railway lines of connectivity would herald a new vista of hope and boost development in the hilly state of Mizoram. With Gingangte, this is Isaac, Akashwani News, Aizawl.
The most precious gift one can give is the gift of life, blood. It is the very essence of life. Your donated blood can save multiple lives when separated into components like red blood cells and plasma. Blood is in constant demand, especially for patients with conditions such as thalassemia and hemophilia, as well as for victims of accidents, major surgeries, and severe anemia. Up next, in a special interview, Ms. Siasino Martha Mera and her husband, Mr. Vincent Vimtha Mera, share their inspiring story as committed blood donors. They speak with our correspondent Asuno from Akashwani Kohima.
Dear listeners, we bring to you a very exciting conversation today, all about love, compassion, and the power to save lives. Joining us in the studio is Siasino Martha Mera and her husband Vincent Vimtha Mera, a remarkable couple to have made blood donation not just a habit but a shared mission. Through their commitment, they have touched countless lives, and today they are here to tell us why giving blood means so much to them. Welcome to our show, Martha and Vincent. It's great to have you both in the studio.
Thank you.
Begin with, let me ask both of you to introduce yourself and share how you first became involved in blood donation. How many times have you both donated blood?
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I am Vincent V. Matamera.
And I am Seisino Marta Mera. We are a couple and blessed with three children, two sons and a daughter.
My blood group is O negative, and I'm a voluntary blood donor for the past 25 years and donated 22 times. My first donation was during a voluntary blood donation drive in college at Delhi.
I am an O positive blood donor and donating since 7 years. I have donated 11 times till date, and my first donation was in 2019.
Well, so it's so interesting. You both are O, but with plus and negative. Yeah, it's so good to hear that. So what inspired you both to donate blood initially? Was there a particular event or person that influenced your donation?
For me, actually, blood donation started unexpectedly. Back then, I didn't know what blood donation is all about. And leave alone, I don't even know my blood group back then. Then it all started one day when I was in college at Delhi. We had just finished our morning football practice, and we were on our way to the canteen for refreshments. Then a doctor stepped out of a room and he stopped us. And he started explaining about blood donation and everything. Then by while he was still explaining, like half the team disappeared. You know, they just left. Then by the time he finished explaining, like two of us agreed to go for a donation. Then being my first donation, I was a little nervous, But then everything went nicely, like smoothly. There was no problems. Then after finishing, I could see, other donors on the adjacent beds and all. And then some were not still resting, some were saying that they're feeling dizzy and all. But for me, I didn't feel anything. So they offered juice and fruit, which I took, and I went home. And I didn't feel any weakness or anything after that also. So the next day I was back in the field, back to playing again and all. And ever since then, I have been a regular donor, and I usually donate only when needed, since my blood group is not easy to get.
What about you?
As for me, seeing my husband donating numerous times inspired me a lot. The zeal and the enthusiasm I saw in him whenever the need for blood donation came up, and also the fact that we are helping someone in need, that also with something that is freely gifted by God and to save a life.
It's so nice to hear about how your journey of donating blood started. It's very encouraging, not only for me, but I think I'm sure for our listeners who are listening to our conversation right now. So Marta, could you recall your first blood donation experience? What emotion did you go through, and how did it feel afterwards?
For me, I had been wanting to donate blood after seeing my husband, but was unable to due to pregnancy and breastfeeding thereafter. When our third child became three, I got my first opportunity to donate to a cancer patient. Even though it was my first donation, I didn't feel scared. Instead, I prayed for the patient and that God may heal him and also give me continued health to help more people. After donating, I felt a sense of big achievement and happiness to have helped someone.
Well, let me put across this question to Vincent. You have already donated blood more than 22 times.
Yes.
So how has your involvement in blood donation influenced your family, and have other family members joined you in this cause?
You know, like being a blood donor is a very noble cause and a blessing to be able to help people in need of blood, especially like very rare ones like myself. And we believe that a good number of people are inspired and encouraged by us to become a blood donor. And we also try to make it a point to encourage and sensitize the recipient's family members also, so that the importance of blood donation, and encourage them to also become donors themselves, because they have gone through the troubles to get the blood, which is not easily available. So, like they can learn from that also, and then they become donors also.
Marta, any memorable or touching moments during your donation sessions that you would like to share with us?
For me, I try to make it a point to call one of the patient attendants and say a prayer with him or her. But on this one occasion, the patient's wife called me to pray before the donation. Everything went well and the patient was able to use my blood. But unfortunately, the next day I got the news that the patient had passed away. On one hand, I was sad, but on the other hand, I was happy, and that by using my blood, the patient was able to spend a few hours more, if not longer, with his family and that he was given a fighting chance to survive.
What about you, Vincent?
Yeah, we had an incident. Like usually when I go for blood donations, my wife, she accompanies me. Mm-hmm. We go together. And we had gone for one donation at Naga Hospital. And then we could see that the recipients, were not financially stable. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we could see their desperation and anxiety regarding the donation itself. Mm-hmm. Because since it was a little difficult to find my blood group. And then there are people who, you know, like sell their blood. Mm. And being rare, it's a little expensive. So, you know, in order to put them at ease, we just had a talk with them. You know, we let them know that I'm a voluntary blood donor. And then we don't accept any cash or kind. Mm. You know, it's everything free. And that, you know, we also try to encourage them, you know, to also become donors themselves. And then after the donation was done, before leaving, my wife, you know, she suggested that we help them with a little money that we have with us right now. So, yeah, we gave them some cash for help. And then we felt so blessed, you know, and then after seeing the joy and, you know, the gratitude that they expressed, you know, it was a blessing.
Let me put across this question to Martha. Many people have misconceptions about blood donations. So what myths did you encounter and how did you address them?
Main misconception among our people is that if you donate blood, then your life gets shorter. And also there is a general phobia or fear regarding blood donation. Mm-hmm. We used to tell them that as a healthy person, there is no problem at all. Mm-hmm. And instead, when you donate or when we donate blood, your body makes a new fresh blood, which is actually better for your general health.
To Vincent now, were there any personal challenges or fears you had to overcome to become regular blood donor?
No, not really, actually. Okay. No, like I said earlier, I started suddenly and then I just got into it and then I felt good. Mm-hmm. And as a healthy person, you know, I have no problem with donating blood. There's no side effects. Mm-hmm. Then I just need to consume more water once the donation is done for a few days. Okay. And then, I'm back to my normal duties, activities the next day itself.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Martha?
For me, as a woman, the number of times we can donate is lesser. And you being a woman and a regular blood donor, you also know best.
Yes.
The gap is lesser for men and the gap we keep for the waiting period, no? Yes. To keep ourselves healthy, to donate again, is more. Now it has been, the norm is, I think, 4 months.
4 months,
yes, for a woman, yes. No? And speaking from personal experience, I usually avoid donating 1 week before and 1 week after my periods.
Mm.
Because during one donation, which was 3 days after my periods, I was skeptical. So I asked a doctor who was nearby and he casually replied that it's okay, chalta hai, you can donate. Mm. But the next day I felt very weak after the donation. Mm. So what I want to say here is that everybody is different. So we have to know ourselves and avoid donating if you are not feeling well.
Mm-hmm. Rightly pointed out, our listeners can, especially the female who wanted to be a donors, can follow the steps that
you have
rightly pointed out. Thank you so much for that information, Martha. Coming back to you again, Martha, how do you believe your story can inspire others in your community to consider blood donations?
We hope that people who know us or hear our testimony will also be encouraged to become a voluntary blood donor, not only for their family members, but to unknown people also.
Vincent, what advice would you give to someone considering donating blood for the first time?
Yeah, for first-time donors, our advice is that there's nothing to be, you know, scared of. You know, even people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s are, you know, donating regularly. So just like after your donation, just drink lots of water.
Yeah.
You know, you eat well,
mm-hmm.
and you rest just for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, also like don't be a donor just on voluntary blood donors day. You know, you be available anytime,
anytime, yes.
That your blood group is required, no? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'll be available.
Mm. That's a good point that you have mentioned. I think everyone should be available for donating blood.
Yes, yes.
That also free.
Yes, that's true.
To Martha again, for those who might feel nervous about the process, what tips can you share to make the experience more comfortable?
Firstly, we should be thankful to God for the good health we are enjoying and pray for better health to continue helping others in various ways. Regarding the process, there is nothing to worry about since there are trained technicians who take care of everything and they follow the various procedures to ensure that we are okay to donate and also that the recipient can receive our blood.
To you again. Looking back, how has been a blood donor impacted your lives personally and as a couple?
Being one of the few couples who are blood donors, we feel that we are setting a good example to children, friends, and neighbors. Also, not only in donating our blood, we also try and our best to find other donors too for different blood groups when the need arises. On a personal level, we have learned that you may not be able to help others financially or physically, but can extend a helping hand through this God-gifted blood which is in each one of us.
That's such a good takeaway for us. And lastly, before we wind up, I would like to ask Vincent to leave us, our listeners, with one message about the importance of blood donation.
We feel that if all healthy individuals everywhere, especially us Nagas, since we are here in Nagaland, we become a blood donor, then there'll be no shortage of blood, you know, whenever someone requires it, you know, instead of like looking here and there, not like available everywhere easily. And then also by helping someone in need, we hope that that person will also help another person in need, and therefore encourage each other to become a voluntary blood donor and save a life.
Thank you so much, Martha and Vincent, for sharing your heartfelt journey with us today. Your story is a powerful reminder that giving blood is not just a simple act, it is a gift of life. To our listeners, if you have ever thought about donating blood but haven't taken that first step, let this be your inspiration.
Thank you.
Folks, you just heard a thought-provoking conversation with the inspiring couple, Ms. Sayosina Martha Mehra and Mr. Vincent Memtha Mehra. The interviewer was Asuno, correspondent at Akashwani, Kohima.
Assam, often referred to as the land of blue hills and red rivers, serves as the gateway to the northeastern states and is aptly described as the sentinel of Northeast India. The state is adorned with lush green landscapes, a chain of hills and rivers. Assam has been home to various races, tribes and ethnic groups for centuries. Our special correspondent, Regina S. Nair, takes us on a journey through the culture and heritage of Assam, sharing her travel tales and experiences.
It is a well-known saying that it is the people that make a place and not vice versa. And nothing could prove that right more than the over 2,000-year-old ancient state of Assam. Its people, descendants of the erstwhile Ahom Rajas, who ruled the region for six centuries, are a blend of Indo-Aryan, Austro-Asiatic and Tibeto-Burman origin, which in turn has led it to be a culturally rich and diverse state. The state, which also has the largest number of tribes or races in India, can also attribute its vibrant culture and traditions to the practices that the different dynasties and empires inculcated into it. For example, the Ahom rulers, during their long reign, gradually became Hinduized, and the extent of their cultural mingling was seen in the art, literature, customs, and architecture. They adopted the Assamese language and observed local customs for marriage, fertility, and burial. They converted to Vaishnavism, a sect of Hinduism. With the advent of the Britishers, who standardized the language, the traditional culture adopted a new modern form. The residents of Assam have followed and maintained the rich and diverse culture of their forefathers for over 2,000 years, and have traditionally been expert craftsmen in the production of silk, bamboo and cane products, among others. Different art forms and handicrafts come from different regions of Assam. In fact, weaving is the traditional craft of the Assamese, and women of almost every house proudly own a loom. The people of Assam take their weaving so seriously that the state got its first geographical indication, a form of intellectual property right, for the Muga silk they produce. Muga is a natural, golden, glossy silk made from the semi-domesticated silkworm Antheria assamensis, found exclusively in Assam. The pupa of the worm feeds on soam leaves found only in the region. This global recognition of the very durable and lustrous glossy Muga silk can be attributed to the state's Ahom rulers, under whose patronage the production of Muga silk thrived. Royalty and members of the courts of the Ahom Rajas had to wear the silk clothing, and it even became an intrinsic part of the socio-economic life of the residents across centuries. The beauty of this variety of silk is that its sheen increases every time you hand wash it, and it lasts years. We decided to visit Swalakuchi, the nerve center of Assam's silk weaving, also called the Manchester of Assam because of the presence of numerous cottage handloom industries. The village, about 30 kilometers from Guwahati, is one of the world's largest weaving villages where every household weaves, something that they have been doing for generations. During important occasions and festivals, female dancers wear the traditional dress or mekhlas of Muga silk, which cost about 30,000 rupees in Swalakuchi and upwards of 40,000 rupees outside the village. When we reached the village, we were welcomed by the view of people weaving in every house and looms surrounded by colorful threads and other knickknacks. Over 3,000 weavers work regularly in the looms of Swalakuchi. Apart from Muga silk, the other two popular varieties are the white or creamy colored pat silk and the eri silk used to make warm clothes in winter. Though the Muga was too expensive for me to buy, I did pick up some eri shawls priced at about Rs. 2,000 each. While pat is made from silkworms that feed on mulberry, the eri silk is made from worms that eat leaves of the castor oil plant. The eri silk is also known as a non-violent silk because the pupa is not killed, and it is only after the moth leaves the cocoon is the cocoon harvested and spun into thread. The soft and warm silk is used in shawls and quilts. Besides sericulture, Assam is also known for cane, bamboo, bell metal and brass production. Because of the tropical climate of the region, bamboo grows in abundance here, and products made from these are used in every household. Traditional utensils and other articles made from bell metal and brass are common for the people of Assam. The zorai and bota have been used for centuries to offer betel nut and betel leaves to guests. In fact, all the households of the towns of Hajo and Sartabari near Guwahati are engaged in making traditional as well as modern bell metal and brass articles. Its master craftsmen also make toys, masks, pottery, terracotta items and woodcraft. We picked up some beautiful cane and jute lampshades. We also bought the traditional japi, a conical hat made from tightly woven bamboo, cane or palm leaves. In the early days, the large japis were worn by farmers for protection against the sun and rain. Today, it is a symbol of respect offered to guests and is used in ceremonies. It has geometrical patterns in red, white, green, blue and black with a typical red border around its edges.
Re mu bhumurai suhibo moram jasile ki hobo moina khumoragot anehe bohibo phul phulile ki hobo moina phulore mu bhumurai suhibo moram jasile ki hobo moina khumoragot anehe bohibo
পাৰিবিয়া তোমাক নেদেখো আজিৰ পৰা ৰভাৰ তলে তোমাৰ বিয়া তোমাক নেদেখো আজিৰ পৰা চিৰদিনলৈ তুমি জানা নৰহবা গো তুমি
ডান্স মিউজিক ফেজ festivals, arts and crafts are inherent in the people of Assam, and every festival or occasion is marked by merrymaking. The most important festival for the Assamese people is Bihu. The festival celebrated thrice a year, with the Rongoli or Bohag Bihu celebrated in April being the most important one. It is during this festival that the popular folk dance of Bihu is performed by both men and women with gaiti. This dance is said to celebrate fertility. The Magh Bihu, the harvest festival, is also known as the Bhogali Bihu and is celebrated in January. The third Bihu festival, Kangali Bihu or the Pua Bihu, is observed in mid-October when there is no food in the house before the harvest is brought home. It is during these festivals that men and women wear their traditional attire. The men wear the two-piece dhoti gamosa, a rectangular white piece of cloth with red borders on three sides and woven motifs on the two ends. Women wear the two-piece motif-rich mekhla chador, traditionally made from muga silk. A visit to this beautiful state leaves one feeling like there is still so much more to explore and absorb, be it from its rich and ancient art and culture, beautiful history and architecture, stunning landscapes and vibrant wildlife. I do promise myself a visit again to awesome Assam.
And now enjoy the heartfelt melody of Raste, a soulful track that celebrates the beauty and grandeur of Northeast India. Brought to life by the talented composer and emerging vocalist Nitin.
Hum tum in raston mein in wadiyon mein chal pade hain ab ye jo raste hum dono ko le chale hain ab jaan bhi le
brings us to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Join us again next week, same day, same time, for more inspiring stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye and take care.
Assam ki ye chai bulaye hum dono isko jike aaye Meghalaya ke badal ke niche chal hum dono picnic ओ आए हम रास्ते रास्ते है घर तेरा ओ आए हम रास्ते मिले मुझे है घर तेरा त्रिपुरा जाए मंदिर में जाए माँ त्रिपुरा का दर्शन पाए मणिपुर की लीला निराली रुक्मणी कृष्ण की प्रेम कहानी ओ आए हम रास्ते रास्ते है घर तेरा ओ आए हम रास्ते
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the New Services Division of Akashwani.